he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And we began looking at this passage of Scripture a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, and we'd like to continue looking at building on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. And I ask the question, in your life, what is the foundation that you hang on to? And today, as you look at the building of your life, of your house, of your family, is it built on a foundation that will last? Are you a new creation in Christ? Let's pray this evening. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for its power to change. Lord, that you would help us to come to you, to find forgiveness, to listen, and to begin to dig in our lives, to look for what we need to take care of and what we need to deal with. Let you work in our lives. Let your Holy Spirit show each and every single one of us what we need to be doing, and work anew and afresh. Help us, Lord, to continually be striving for that sanctification that only you can provide, and to fight the battle against sin and the devil. And Lord, I pray that you might just help us to continue keeping on until you call us home. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this passage first, we look at the words of Jesus in verse 47. He said, whoever comes to me. And first of all, he said we need to come to the source. We need to come to the person who has the ability to give us the right foundation. We need to make sure that we are going to Jesus Christ for our forgiveness of sins, to wash us, to make us new. And then he says, and hears my sayings and does them. Last week, a few weeks ago, because we've been at Perry's Pond, we had the youth service and things. So it's been a few weeks since we've looked at this. But I said we need to listen. We need to hear what God is saying and respond appropriately to his word. And I said that this week we are going to take a look and we are going to turn our attention to where it says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. That's such an amazing passage of Scripture. A couple weeks ago, I spent the day out here with Rick and Tim. I love on a project like that being the gopher. I don't mind being the gopher, going and getting this and going and getting that. It's something I've always kind of enjoyed, just being able to be a helping hand where needed. And you can see a lot and you can learn a lot. And just by doing that. And I enjoyed that. But as they began to take the siding off, especially right over there by where Rick is sitting, when they pulled out down by the ground, we could instantly see that there was a problem. And Tim, throughout the day, he was coming in and showing me this thing and that thing. And as he was giving, I was, Lord, just give us wisdom, help us to do the right thing. But as they pulled that siding off right there by where Adam's sitting, and they pulled it off and we looked and we saw a problem right down on the foundation of that building. And you could see the rot there. It was a no-brainer for anybody who saw it. And as I took pictures and sent them out to the guys, they said, that's a problem that needs to get fixed immediately. Because when your foundation isn't in good shape, and as the support structure of a building is tattered and in ruins, you need to do something about it. And I know that there could have been a bigger, that wasn't really the foundation, but it was what the building rested on, that it could be a lot worse. And when there's a problem, you need to dig deep. You need to sometimes start over and really take care of that foundation. It's so, so important. And I love how it says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep. We also were talking in 2 Kings about how digging ditches is hard work. In this Christian life, to live the life that God has called us to, he never promised that if you followed him, life would be easy, that there would not be trials or stresses or persecution. He didn't promise that those things would not come. But if you did the hard work of digging deep into your heart and your soul, he promised that it would be worth it. And if your building is in trouble, and there is problems in the foundation, you can choose to ignore it. But you might get by for a while. And you can just turn a blind eye and say, you know what, I'm not going to take care of that right now. And you can continue to ignore it, and it might get by for a little while, and I'll take care of it someday. But there are some times in this life where we have a problem in our life, something that needs to be fixed, and it's going to take hard work to be able to make a change. Dig deep. And let God begin to move in your life and to work and to grow you through trials and situations. And maybe in our lives, we need to dig deep and allow God to start a new construction. Let's turn over our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made himself, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become righteousness of God in him. I love this passage about being a new creation in Christ, being reconciled to God, our relationship with God being fixed and being mended, and we becoming something new. I love that last phrase, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He wants to completely transform our life and to change it. Often I will sit and I will talk with people and hear their life stories, and I ask them to share what God has done in their heart. And I am so amazed at the testimony, even in this room, the testimonies that I hear of what God has done in your life and what he has saved you out of and saved you from and completely changed the direction and the course of your life. I often, as I think about and as I read testimony, I think about my life and I say, God, I am so thankful that you saved me. I was heading in the wrong direction and you grabbed a hold of me and got a hold of me as a teenager and changed my life for the better. And I thank you and praise you for that. And I thank the Lord that he spared me from so much. But it's so good, it's so refreshing to hear God's handiwork in the life of someone where he took them when their life was in ruin and sin had destroyed them. And Jesus Christ got a hold of their life. He dug deep into their life and made them a new creation. And you know this person maybe for, and they're a Christian brother or sister, and you talk to them and you've learned that, and you just have assumed that they've been a Christian their whole life. And then you hear their story and you hear where they come from and you say, I never would have guessed that that's the person you were. But praise the Lord, God changed you. And we as Christians, we need to be hearing those things often. So that when we see someone, when we turn around and we look at somebody that we care about in our lives and we say, that person seems hopeless. If we were to look at their life as if it were a building, we'd say, that building is rotted to the core. Its foundation is falling apart. The roof is leaking. The plumbing is in disrepair. The electric looks as if it could catch on fire tomorrow. And that building of their life is a mess. God is a God who digs deep and makes people new through his finished work on the cross. And many people in this room are living testimonies that God has the ability to do that. We need to hear that. And we need to hear it often. So that when we see someone that we say, I don't know if God could ever do that. Yes, God can. The same God that changed lives yesterday, 10 years ago, is still the God that's changing lives today and making people new in Christ, reconciled to God. As next time you see a dilapidated building and you look at it and you say, could that building ever be repaired, ever be restored? And you say, only God knows. Sometimes it takes a master carpenter to come in, dig deep, and begin laying a good foundation, an excellent foundation. Let's turn in the book of Luke again to Luke chapter 20, and let's look at this excellent foundation. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 17 says, then he looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And in that passage of scripture, Jesus Christ, as he's giving a parable, talks about the parable of the vineyard and the wicked caretakers who would kill the son of the owner of the vineyard. And after giving that parable, he states this, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And when it says there that Jesus looked at them, don't you think that Jesus and his looks sometimes were part of the delivery of his message? Don't you think that had to be the case sometimes? And it says there, and he looked at them. I would love to see the look that he gave them to try and drive the point home. Have you had somebody that just, the look that they gave before they said something said almost as much as the words that came after it. What do you think if Jesus Christ were to look at us before he said some of these words in the scriptures, the words would come? And Jesus Christ is the excellent foundation, the foundation that we should build our lives on. We talked this morning in Sunday school. We're looking at James, and we haven't gotten very far in James. I always say this is about how far I get with the teen boys Sunday school class, and I have a little plan, and I say, okay, I think I can get through these verses this morning. And I always make my what I want to accomplish in Sunday school a little bit shorter each week. But we don't get very far. And we've been talking about trials and tribulations, and that's still the case. And in our lives, we are going to face the storms of life, the trials of life, things that are coming to try and shake your faith, to crush your spirit, to bring down the house that God is trying to build around you. And these trials will be intense. They will be difficult to face. But what have you built your foundation on? What are you building your unshakable faith on? Are you preparing? I got a message today shortly after we left church about someone preparing for the hurricane down in North Carolina. And the message said they went to the store and there was no water. And I was sitting there going, this hurricane's still a couple days out before they really know where it's going to be and when it's going to be. I know it looks like a big hurricane, and they should begin thinking about it, but can you imagine going to, and they said they went to the store, no water. They're getting prepared, and maybe they thought they'd evacuate to a hotel. There's no hotel rooms where they're thinking about going. And places are packed, and people are boarding up, and they're getting ready. If you had had a contractor come and say, oh, your foundation's in trouble, you got some leaks and there's lots of rot in this house, and there was a hurricane coming, or you know, Category 4 barreling down at your door, and you didn't have insurance, how would you be feeling? And hurricanes don't give a lot of warning, do they? You don't have time to dig deep and to repair. People that wanted to make those repairs to fix that building up for a hurricane, they should have been making those plans a long time ago. And we don't know when the trials of life are going to come. Probably get less warning for the things that could knock you the building of your life over than you could ever get for a hurricane. There's no weatherman that comes on the TV every morning and says, you know what? In about a week and a half, there's this tropical disturbance, and it's coming for you, and the devil is going to try you, he's going to test you, and he's going to try to shake your faith. Wouldn't that be nice, though, if we could turn to a channel that says, there's these trials billowing out in the Atlantic, and they're heading your way. You better prepare your life for those. That's not the way it happens. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you of new life in Christ? Is your foundation built on a rock that will not move in those trials and testings? Let's look at some of the... It says in Luke chapter 6 that the trials we face will be vehement. That word means they're forceful, intense. Like the trials we're going to face in life, they're going to be hurricane type of trials. And if we are going to live for the Lord, the structure of our Christian life, the building that we find is going to be tested. I guarantee you, if you live for the Lord, your faith, the foundation upon which you are built will be tested. Read in John chapter 15. Turn in. I know a bunch of you guys are going back to Luke chapter 6, but turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I promised my seventh graders, I love the book of John, I love teaching the book of John, and I promised them on Friday, as we were preparing for class, I said, this year, you have to memorize the outline of the book of John. For your final exam, you have to be able to reproduce for me the outline of the book of John. And that has been something that I have just loved doing with seventh graders. I have had those kids come back as seniors or in college and say, Mr. Wilson, I still can remember and I still can quote the outline of the book of John. I said, well, if there's one thing that I did right, and you can still do that after 6 years of high school, I'm very thankful for that. Don't care if you can tell me how to prove Pythagorean's theorem. That's okay if you forget that. But if you could still quote to me years later the outline of the book of John, I did something right. And I've been very thankful for that. But in that, there's going to be this section that they're going to have to reproduce for me. The world's hatred. That's part of the outline of the book of John, because Jesus spent some time talking about how the world will hate you. And that is evident in John chapter 15, in verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. In John chapter 16, in verse 1, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. If persecution were to, again, there is no one on television saying persecution is coming to the church in America, there's a disturbance in the Atlantic, and it's heading your way. You, Christian, you should be prepared. What if persecution started tomorrow in an intense way in this country? Is that possible? Absolutely. People could come into the homes of Christians and take them off to prison. It's not unprecedented in this world. And it could happen tomorrow to us. Would we be prepared, or would our faith be shaken and all of a sudden we deny Christ in that moment? Are we ready? Are we prepared for the trials of life if they were to come? And could we be, as it says, Jesus Christ said here, I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. As the trials of life come, are they going to cause our lives, our faith, to fall over? Something dear to my heart. I don't know if my dad's in here. He's probably listening over the speaker. But he said, he sat down. He's been coming over for dinner, and he sat down the other night while dinner was getting ready, and I was typing away on the computer, and he was just talking. He said, Scott, I've been going through Mom's diary. You're talking about how you were like Mom, and she kept the diary. And he said, Scott, I was amazed how in the last month of her life, how many times she wrote, God, I thank you for the cancer. God, I thank you for the cancer. Trial in life. And I think about our faith. You know, we pour out our hearts to God and our needs and trials, they're coming. And we don't know when. But what will our faith do? What is our faith built on? And when the devil is sending things our way, can we say, God, I'm resting in you. I'm trusting in you. Do we have that kind of unshakable faith? Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in good time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." If we are building a foundation, and the building of our lives being built up on Jesus Christ, wouldn't you like to have this be the result of what the contractor says at the end of the project? You're going to face a lot of trials in this home. Hurricanes, earthquakes, storms, fires. Well, you got this built on a foundation. Sufferings, pains, intense and forceful things are going to come to you. But in the end, when you have suffered through these things, this building will still be perfect, will be established, it will be strengthened, and it will be settled. Isn't that what we'd want from a building? Is to face the trials and to have at the end that be the case? And in our lives, as God has called us to dig deep, to get the foundation on Jesus Christ and to build up from there, wouldn't that be what we would want the finished product to be? Perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. I'd like to close by looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's this week try to put our foundation, the source of our life, the thing that we need to depend on, to rely on, to build on, for our foundation to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Let's dig deep. Let's look at our lives. Do the work of living for Jesus, so that when the trials and testings and temptations of this life, the intense things meant to destroy us by the devil, we will find God faithful to carry us through, to help us in the midst of those struggles. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you so much that you loved us enough to step down to heaven, from heaven to this earth, to live among us, to die for us. And Lord, I don't know what we are going through this week, but maybe our lives, maybe the buildings of our soul are not ready for the storms of life that are coming. We are not prepared. If the wind were to blow, if the earthquakes were to come, and the devil were to try and knock our home down, I pray that you might help us to dig in, to go back to the foundation, to give our hearts, our lives, our souls over to Jesus Christ, and to come to him and to prepare for the testings and the trials that are sure to come. Bless us tonight as we leave this place. Help us to live for you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.